Yes. So let's start. You know, so the purpose, as I was saying, is that.
Why don't you put it on your chest so that you're not depressing
yourself? It even went off.
Wow.
Okay, so you know, so the purpose has to do with my awareness, my knowing, being able to hear, or like the eyes have not seen, now I'm able to see. You know, so Paul was saying that the eyes of understanding may be open to do what?
To see
the Father. To see the Father. And that's the greatest knowledge. To see God. How can a man see God? It took Moses 40 days just in the way in the mountain seeing God. And when he came out, he didn't go to see glory. But when he came, the glory followed him.
Yeah.
You understand? So that mountain speaks of Zion. He said, well, I've come to Mount Zion. It's a spiritual realm. It's a height. There's no way Moses could have seen him. Why didn't he stay in the valley and see him? But God is saying something. He's speaking about the realm, a place where darkness is in the lower realm. The light of God, the nature of God, is in a higher dimension. So the other one says, you come up to the. In other words, so when we are used to our physical things, you know, we are experiencing, having a nice time, do our thing, you know. We know what you do that makes you happy. That's, but there's another dimension. And for me, I don't find it interesting. I can't understand what is this life of the spirit, you know. But you see, God has to create the appetite. It has to change, you know, my what I'm seeing, my desire, you know, has to change my purpose, you know, my, like you said, my motive. What do I really want? He said his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. But sometimes we don't know what this pleasure is. We are more used to natural pleasure. I eat food, I'm very happy. I get an alert. I don't get to. You say, is it now God win? Is that not that song? I don't get an alert. That God win. So I have a lot. I'm happy.
No alert.
I'm depressed. Exactly. But if I hear the voice of God, I am happy. Are we happy? Do we want to? You know, is this a new experience? So, it's speaking about reality. That's what, that is for me. That is reality. I'm interested. I'm looking at the things. You know, say that renews the inward man. You know, so I was talking about the maturity of the soul. The soul is a priest. Everything else we're doing. He says, "My soul, lift up my soul." My soul praise the Lord. Let everything that is in me do what?
Praise the Lord.
What is in you? Your thoughts, your emotions, your desire, your will, everything. You know, praise the Lord. Because the soul is the priest. You know, so when you talk about the living creatures, it says they ever live to say, holy, holy, holy. That's, you have come to the point where you are overwhelmed by his glory, by his presence. What we are seeing, you know, so we are ever conscious of God. Sometimes you leave the house in the morning, the next time you remember God is when you come back. I don't know who has that experience. I have that experience. That's, in fact, by the time you are in the Bashorun Road, you have forgotten the scripture you even read in the morning. Bashorun Road is all gone. Amen. So he's saying, I have, you know, I need something. This inward man must be born. So he said, you must be born again. You know, and so it's not just to see, then there's to enter. You know, so I'm seeing the kingdom, I talk about the kingdom, I speak about it, sing about it, write about it, share testimony of that beautiful city. It's on the hill. That's not where God. God wants me. If he wants that city in me. So you saw it. You saw the New Jerusalem, is it not?
So
the tabernacle of God. So the God wants to dwell in man. That's the whole story. You know? And God cannot come to dwell when there is darkness. So I must overcome the darkness. I must overcome. And there's nobody who's going to overcome the darkness. It's me. I must overcome. You know? And to show them that picture, he took them to the, you know, it's a beautiful story of Abraham, his children going into Egypt, coming into the wilderness. Okay. So that is the story of my overcoming darkness. That is the story. You know. So when you read about Abraham, you should be thinking of yourself.
That's it.
You know, like Allah was saying. So the experiment has been carried out and the result of the practical has been reported. You know that, yeah. You see, Abraham was in a land he was to possess, but he was not ready to possess it. He had no capacity to possess that land. So he was there as a stranger. Is it not?
Yeah.
Good. So Christ is in your soul, but he has no capacity to possess his soul. There are experiences my soul must go through that will grant the Christ in me the capacity to possess my soul. I don't know if you understand. Now, the soul was caused by darkness. Just like the Canaan was caused by Noah.
Yeah.
Say, caused
the Canaan.
But God told Abraham, I will give you Canaan as your land of promise. So, God was giving him a land that was caused. It's not a wickedness.
It's so funny.
But he said that land was flowing with milk
and honey.
In other words, there was a hidden treasure. There is something in you. Okay? So there are two things. There is a cause. You see death, darkness. You see the mind. You see, you know. In fact, it's unfruitful. You know. Now, everything sown in your life. Of course, they preach it only in relation to prosperity. They say, sowing and reaping. It's more than that. He's speaking about the possession of your soul, that it was cursed. But the soul, the land that was cursed, had to be redeemed. Because he said, these Amorites that are there, their cup must come to the full. So he said, Abraham, yes, you are good to, you can wander around it. But the time for you to possess it is not yet. So while the land is being prepared for you, you are going to become a stranger. You become a slave also. Because you cannot possess what you have not experienced.
Experience, yeah.
You know what I mean? You cannot possess what you... So you say you will be a stranger in a land 400 years. Four speaks of tribulation, isn't it? So, you know, so he's speaking about a time of tribulation, and that's what Christian people don't want.
Yeah, no, so far.
You press this, the message comes. You press the other one, you know. So
that's
quick.
That's why we try to bribe God.
Exactly, you understand. So, but you know, if we know God, then we will know the ways of God. That in your life, where you are now is for a purpose. Now, if you can't see it, then you might take wrong. You might react wrongly, like Ruth, and Naomi and Elimelech. Elim means father. Lech, my God is king. Melech means king. So he was a man of God. He had a promise in God. Elimelech was a prophetic name. But his reaction to famine was very bad. And he paid dearly for it because there was something something was wrong in his soul. You know, in fact, it was so bad that he called his own son, first son, sickness, Chilion, Malion. The other one was stricken. Sickness and disease were the names he gave his children. So he's telling you what he was going through. He was bitter with God, he was offended with God, you know. He was in a house of bread, and he had to leave it and go into famine. You know, so but God was doing something. We're speaking about the soul, you know, our experience. Sometimes we don't have all the things we are looking for. I will tell somebody, somebody is married, first 5, 6, 7, 10 years, no children. Ah, this is not where we agreed though. This is not what we agreed though. We agreed for prosperity. That's Elimelech. And you know what? He leaves house of bread that goes to Moab. You know, Moab speaks of the, if I say of the father. You understand? It's of the flesh. So the things you design, you know, he designed something and he went there and he lost his life, the life of two children, everything. So it's, you know, but there was a redemption. Ruth came out, you know, Boaz came, Ruth came out of it, and Jesus Christ came out of her, became the great grandmother of Christ. You know, so in every situation, even when you make a mistake, there's a Christ in it. So yes, you made bad choices, you made wrong choices, but in it, if you look deep down, you will see a thread of redemption walking through, you know. So the children of Israel had to go into captivity 400 years. This is a prince, is now in captivity, no hope of coming out. But the beautiful story was God made a way for them. When they had no hope, God took them out of that house of bondage. You told them when they come out, they are going into air conditioned rooms. You know?
Oh Lord Jesus.
They are going to air conditioned rooms, you see that? The next thing they knew that's a good when it was miracle, well, of course it was misfeeling. One moment, oh my God, Moses, you are very wicked. The next moment where we walked through was the baptism. And then just when they were singing, he had brought us. He said, hold on, you don't know what's ahead. They're not coming to dust, wind, heat, everything. Different from Egypt. Mm-hmm. This is a new experience.
Yes.
You know? And God was watching them, testing them, you know, preparing them. You know? He was purging Egypt out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you understand? So those are the things, experiences that God was passing you through. Not where He's passing you through. If you look, you can see where you are along the line. You know, so God is after your soul. He's after my soul. He's walking in something. Christ has come in. But the Christ in me has no chance. Because Christ is sown in the midst of darkness. You know, remember, darkness entered into man, that's one. The darkness of man corrupted the nature of the soul. That's number two. Number three, there are spirits that feed on darkness. So where there was darkness, they all came in. Because they can't get access to life. So they only get access through darkness. So those spirits are there. So within man, you have a fallen nature. You have in fact, Paul called it, have a law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you have the spirits that are feeding on the darkness and on the fallen soul. How can that man be saved? Paul said, oh wretched man that I am. They say, thanks be to God. There is a story of redemption. So there is a Christ within, say, through Christ. Now, and that is the power, I think we'll end with that. That is the power of the cross. And that's the message I lost in the church. The power of the cross. The Bible said that we overcame by the blood. The only chance I have is by the blood. The blood is the most powerful event in the whole world, that cross. Mm-hmm. Now, the cross is a realm in the spirit. You call it, it was a natural thing, but it's a realm in the spirit that every soul must come to. It's a place of divide. You know, any soul that doesn't come to that place cannot go higher. So as to go from darkness into life, you must go through the cross. Because at the cross, the old man, this outward man, was judged. Because that outward man is, one, corrupt by nature. Two, is married to darkness. Three, is a servant of Babylon spirits. You understand? So, he has no chance. So that's why he says, this outward man was nailed to the cross. So Jesus came. And as he was nailed to the cross, we also must, that outward nature must be judged. Because see, when you look at this, the sin offering, see, Jesus was made to be sin. Now, many people don't understand what that is. The sin offering has three parts. One, there is the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. Cain did not understand that. He brought all the fruit of the ground, that is, of his own works.
Yeah.
It's not going to go anywhere. Abel brought blood, so he could speak. You understand? So that was accepted. So the sin offering must be blood, one. Two, the flesh of the animal must be burnt. And outside the gate. You understand? So that was called the body of sin. So this old nature must be burnt. It must be killed. It must be crucified. So Paul said, I am crucified. In other words, so my outward man, this is what I say, though the outward man perish, because the outward man must be crucified daily. Daily. Paul said, I die daily. Somebody say, why can't I just, oh Lord, from today, no more. Well, thank God for you. Just understand that self does not die one day. That's why it's called crucified. Crucified is a slow death. They hang you on the cross. It takes at least 4 to 8 days. It could be faster. That's why they were surprised. Ah, the man is already dead. So they broke the legs to hasten it, because he was crucified on a midweek. My wife said I shouldn't say Wednesday. It was crucified midweek because it was a high Sabbath. That means there were two Sabbaths in one day. That means on the Friday and on a Sunday, on a Saturday. Well, let's not use the word Saturday. We use the word Sabbath. But there were two Sabbaths. The week Sabbath and the festival Sabbath. So there were two. You know, so in other words, they had to crucify him before the week Sabbath.
Actually, it was crucified Wednesday, Thursday, not Friday.
My wife said I shouldn't say Wednesday, Thursday. So that's why I didn't want to go to Wednesday, Thursday. So I'm trying to use the scriptural one. Yeah. To say midweek, I agree with you. It's clear. I have studied it. It's a clear. But she said we shouldn't say. They said we shouldn't say Wednesday, Thursday. So because.
So that's your argument.
Yes. So because it had to be brought down.
Yeah.
His body must not be on the cross on the Sabbath.
Sabbath.
You understand? So it had to be the first night. The second, quickly they brought it down. All right. He stayed, and then he said at the break of the Sabbath. They went, so that was the second day. You understand? That's the week, the first, you know, Sabbath of Passover.
Passover.
Okay. So there was the Sabbath of Passover, and then the Sabbath of the day of the week. You know, so that gave three nights. You know,
yeah.
Thursday, if you permit that, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday morning. You know, so it was very clear. So they quickly, you know, Bible says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. You know, so there is a strength in the spirit. There's a place in the spirit where there is a strength to overcome. and that is a place of strength within us. The old nature, Paul used the word old man, doesn't want to die. All right, so when they put him up on the cross, they say, if you are the son of man, do what?
Come down.
And that's what the devil is always telling us, come down. He doesn't want us there.
Come
down now. You understand? So Paul said we must carry our cross daily. What do you do with it? You put the old man back again. You must put the old man back again. And nail it afresh. You know, put it back again. Daily. You know, you push it back. You know, and that's the work of the Spirit. And that's the ministry of fellowship. You know, as because see, the word of God is like a sharp knife, isn't it? It's coming for that old man to crucify it. He says, if any man does so and so, he shall be cut off. You understand? Cut off is the inward man. That old nature. Cut it off. Kill it. He says, it shall be cut off from the congregation of people. In other words, that nature cannot go in. That carnal nature, old man, old nature, you know. In fact, there's even the one of the leprosy. Leprosy is also speaking about the old man. Leprosy means excess flesh. So if the leprosy be in the hand or in the leg, what is he telling you? It has to do with
carnal work.
Our carnality. So, or if it's in the head, it's speaking about the mind. Or if it's in the clothes, it's speaking about the influences, the worldly influences. When you see it, what do you do? You say it is a leprosy. It is defiled. You must put it out. You must bring blood. You must do this. So it's all speaking about our walk, you know, which is contrary to what we are hearing, you know, that it's a one-day thing, 30-day thing. You do this, this happens, you do this, you know. In fact, when they are going to consecrate the priest, they consecrate the priest for 7 days. Every day, you stay at the door. What is he saying? The 7 days speaks of about your lifetime. The purpose of your soul, of your coming to the world, is to be consecrated. That's your walk with God, is that your soul is being consecrated to be a priest. So God takes his time every day. He has designed something for your life for you to pass through. But you have options to opt out. So you have to see God. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do in this matter? David said, should I go? Should I pursue? Would you deliver them? Another. This one he said, don't go. The other one he said, go. Why? Why can't you just give me the whole plan and then go? Let me just read it and go my way. No. Because he wants a relationship. You have to come daily. You have to come. You know? And he will come in, you build that communion. You know, because God wants to dwell in man. Man is God's dwelling place. You know, so the purpose of life is to make a priest of us. We are the eternal priest. Ability to bring offering to God. We are our thoughts, our emotions, you know, are offered to God. So, it's not like wanting to be somebody else. Wanting to be somewhere else. But the thing is, what is God's will for me? What is God's purpose for me? What is God's calling for me?
Sorry, sir, before you proceed, I was looking to hear the third thing.
Oh.
You mentioned the blood.
Okay, yes. Okay, yes. The third one is the most important. It's called the offering of the fat. The inward. That is really the inward part. The offering. You see, you burn the fat. Is different from the fat from the peace offering. You know, in every one of them, you bring the inwards and you offer to God.
The what?
The inward part. So you bring the liver.
The body of you. I told you.
No, the body is burnt.
The flesh.
The flesh. The flesh. The dung. Everything burnt outside the temple. Yes, sir. That speaks about judgment. Which message they have taken away from the church? So that's why the church has no offering. You cannot eat that flesh. You cannot present it to God. So there is nothing in my flesh. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth what? You understand? So you cannot elevate self. I am the champion of the world. Who told you? Where did you come from? You understand? You know, so that is out. The only thing that matters is Christ. The Christ in you. The coming forth of that. In fact, John said, I must decrease. And the Christ. You understand? So that's the burning. So the message of the cross must be restored in us personally. Then the third part is that inward part. That is the heart. The inward spirit represents the soul, the inward man. Alright? And fat is a piece of energy. There is power in you. But it's for my glory, it's for my benefit that God has not put that power away. There's an inward power of the soul. You don't need God to release it. If you go to a motivational speaker, you can do so that power is unleashed. So you use your inward power you can use it to build a church. You can use it to heal. You can use it to go to school. There is an energy. Eh?
People are using it to teleport.
Now you're good. So I know a man. He said, I'm going to India. He enters his room. He has gone to India.
Yeah.
Say, so he wants to buy a ticket. He doesn't need a ticket to travel to Berlin. He just enters his room and he goes to Berlin. There is power in the soul. Never, don't let anybody play with that. There is power. You can cultivate it. So when you hear people telling you develop your spirit, they don't know what they are getting into.
They are saying develop your soul.
It must be through the cross. That soul must be crucified. The only power that is Christ coming forth. That glory of Christ coming forth. There are two different things. You understand? So the burning of the energy, is that what the Bible calls the image of the beast, worshipping the beast? Because the soul is a beastly nature. Yeah, it's a nature, but that nature is glorified into a cherubim, or is defied into a nature of a lawless
being.
So there, in fact, I didn't finish that Genesis 1. It says, "You must have dominion over the fish. You must have dominion over
the birds of the air.
You must have dominion over the creeping things, you know." And over, so those are the natures of the soul. You must have dominion over them. So those are the four realms. Even when Noah entered, he took those four creatures. Says he take them in. Say, God, I will deliver them. You understand? So he uses those pictures to tell you about the natures that must be overcome. So if I win the whole world and I have not brought my mind under the dominion of Christ, I haven't done anything. You understand? That's why it says, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down.
Yeah, yeah.
So he that, you know, has dominion is better than a man that winneth a city. You understand? So the strength of Christ is the strength to bring my mind under. Is to, you know, is that, that's why it speaks about the cherubims it speaks about the heavenly nature of Christ. And you can become like that, where our whole being, look at them, they are just focused. They have one focus, they are just looking on God. They have an appetite for God that cannot be satisfied by anything else. You understand? So, that is the transformation that he wants to bring. So, that energy must be offered to God. But what we are doing now is that energy, we're offering it to darkness. To the things of the world, offering it to career, offering it to this, offering it to that, offering it to that. You understand? So that's why I say you must bring that fat and burn it. All right? But there is a peace offering proper where, you know, the emphasis is not on burning the flesh. The emphasis is on the inward man, offering it, not because of sin, but because of love. So it's a higher offering. So that is called the peace offering. It's an offering of love, of relationship. So there are people who come to God because they must come. That is the sin offering. I watched one film called Burning Hell. Did you watch it before?
Yeah, I watched it.
The day I watched it, everybody in my school was born again, including myself. All right, because we didn't want to go to hell. Burning hell.
Burning is about rapture and going to hellfire.
But thank God for it, because it frightened all of us.
All of us.
Fear of hell. It's good. You know, so God can use situations to drag you and bring you. But God doesn't have a son yet. Mm. He has a son. When you willingly
offer yourself,
submit everything to God. You know. So the purpose of our walk with God is to know Him. Paul said that I may
know Him.
That is seeing. To know God means you see. You're able to hear. The inward man
is
alive. You understand? That nature of the bent mind says you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. And that's the power of the scriptures. I know we have those challenges of scriptures, but the way I take it is everyone is good. You know, of course, you want to read it to be refreshed. But I say read it. Because even when you read it like religion, something enters. You pick one phrase. But like Ola said, it's by training. That's the whole idea. As you begin to exercise yourself, you will begin to get more and more and more and more and more and more life. But the Bible says, in all, read it. You know, it's a discipline. As you begin to apply, it's like you wake up in the morning. I had to eat this morning. Sometimes you eat not because you like the food. You don't like the food. You won't eat it because your body needs it. Exactly. So also with the scriptures. You know, when you come there, your soul, that is the soul feels on the energy of, when you say bread, it's energy, it's words. Words are the strength of the soul. You know, say man shall not live by bread alone, but upon every word. So the soul lives on words. So you must come to the washing, to the water, ministry of the water, it washes. But if you become diligent, you see a lot of depth. You know, if you Leviticus 14:15, one of the most difficult places to read, it's not about leprosy. But when you read it and you get the spiritual meaning, you are blown away.
Yeah.
You understand? So and so also many other places, many other scriptures.
You know what I did for that Leviticus, especially for those of leprosy? I have to Google what is the definition of leprosy in the Old Testament and during their own period. And I used different versions.
Yes.
I read through. So I was not getting it. Okay. So we are simply saying, no, a leprous must not have a relationship with anybody. That means you are cutting somebody off.
The
relationship.
Mm.
So the moment we allow excesses, things of the flesh, it cuts off relationship.
It brings a defilement.
It brings a defilement.
Yes. You know. So the scriptures are very, very...
Even with God and man.
Of course.
Because...
You must be isolated.
That is it. Self-centeredness. Mm. Everything is about you.
Yes. Mm. So it becomes offensive. So God himself cannot even manifest himself in you. Because there's too much flesh. Too much man in it. So it drives away God.
Mm.
So it says you have to isolate it. You keep it apart, and if you watch it for 7 days before you come back again and look, you know, if it is healed, and then he tells us the steps, you know. So the overcoming, we overcome through the pattern that God has created, you know. So the blood gives us a lot of strength, a lot of energy, you know, and the blood speaks of the soul. In fact, the soul dwells in the realm of the blood. You know, so when you go into it, you see. For instance, I've given it upon the altar to make atonement for the soul. It's the blood that makes atonement, that brings healing, restoration. I just wanted to.
Yeah, like literally the blood. How about if we, for terminology's sake and for easiness, how about if we mention the life? Since we know that the blood is the life of everything. Am I?
Yes, you are, but you see, when you look at that scripture, it says, for the life, what the one translated life is actually soul.
Soul, yeah.
Because it says, nefesh of the creature is blood. That's why I say you should not eat flesh, eat blood. You understand? Exactly. So, you see, Tanjeji, when you talk about the blood, you're speaking about life. You understand? But you see, if you don't talk about blood, after some time, you lose the essence.
Okay.
Yeah. So you say you overcome by the blood. So, because the blood is a platform where life, the energy, the strength, is ministered to us. And Jesus came, and every drop of his blood was drained. In fact, there were 7 times the blood was shed. Because the scripture says you sprinkle the blood 7 times. The first time, they put the thorn on his head. That's one. They beat him, tore his flesh. That thing they use.
Scorpion whip.
It had nettles and bones, all kinds of things. And they beat and pulled. So, the whole idea was to get the blood out. Mm. Not just that, it was testing his emotion. So, sometimes we say, oh God, this is too much for me. Just remember the cross. That you say, we are not resisting unto blood. So, you and I need to get there. I say, God, have mercy on me. Because in this moment, I say, God, I have tried. So he went all the way. So that was the second time. Then they took they pierced the leg, the two legs, and the two hands. Isn't that? So that's 6, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the 7th one.
The spear at the side.
And the blood came out. So he is a perfect offering. So for me, I like to think about the blood. I like to keep it. Because it's not just the blood is not a physical. Even for us, if you go to a village, they will tell you that blood is thicker than water, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
It speaks. There is life in blood. Uh-huh. I think the blood of a goat speaks enough in a village. How much more the blood of Jesus Christ? You understand? So that blood is speaking. So the blood is speaks of a realm of the spirit. Mm-hmm. It's a realm of life that the soul dwells in. That's my mind is in the blood. I don't know if you understand.
Yeah.
Now, if your mind is blood-centered, that's a different level altogether. You understand? Uh-huh. And if you look at Revelation 13 or so, it says that his garment was dipped in blood. So who is it that coming? He has a garment. How would you like to have blood as a garment? So that is Psalm 91. Say, which are he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. So, if I understand it, I know what covering means, overshadow. That when you are in God, you are under a realm of blood. In fact, that is the city of Zion. It's a city of refuge. There's no devil in hell that can touch you without the permission of God. So, it's all speaking about our relationship. If we know our place in God, our relationship, our calling, then there's a confidence it brings. There's a confidence I have that my life is insured in Christ. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow. And if you think of that shadow in Egypt, think of what the shadow did. When that angel of blood of death came, it had to pass. You can't even come near the blood. You can't, because it's fire. Look at Elijah, they send people to him. See, if I be a prophet of God, let fire come down. And so there is a realm of life, of power that we are dwelling in, that we should be walking in, that the devil cannot touch us. If you understand. So Elijah didn't need to go have prayer meeting or night vigil. Say, oh God, deliver me. He said, if I'm a prophet of God, let fire come down. And he just settled the matter. The man had to say, oh my Lord, he knelt down. My life is precious. Please, can you have mercy on me? And have mercy, please. Let fire not consume it like he did the other one, please. And the Spirit of God said, go with him. So that is the place of authority that you and I should be dwelling. You know? So safety is not, you know, we still have that challenge. We dwell in Nigeria, kidnappers, this one. So, you know, our safety is, but God is saying, your safety is in me. Where I realize that nothing can happen to me except God allows it. And of course, as I'm walking right with God. So if I'm walking right with God, then the covering is sure. You know, not just covering provisions, the things that, so you say, seek it first. You know, that relationship with God, then every other thing is going to, yes, is going to flow. So there is much to say for our relationship with God, our walk with God. You know, and of course, understanding our purpose. So if I understand my purpose, then I'm focused. So as things come, I know what my reaction should be. Of course, sometimes we stray, but it's easier to come back if I have a reference, if I have something that is, you know, says, looking unto Jesus, you know, the author. So we know that our gain, our goal is to be like Christ, to win Christ, that my soul will be matured. You know, yeah, I know the voice of God, I can hear God, I know the purpose of God for my life, and all that, and the distraction. So we can be strengthened in the inward man. You know, it says, though the outward man is flashing, the inward man must be renewed, must be strengthened.
So the purpose of life of each believer is one.
Yes, it's one. To win Christ. And if Christ cannot come in you without you being strengthened, as you win Christ, as you become like Christ, as you put on that image of Christ, the outward man will rightly fall in this place. You understand? Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of God. And you can see the prayer life of Jesus. A great while others are sleeping. Where is he? So you can see his priority. Why others are sleeping? When he finishes the miracle, what does he do? So he had a communion. He had a relationship. Which ministry did not affect? Which his daily responsibilities did not affect? You know, he had a place of communion. And you can see, before he took a major decision, he went and prayed all through the night. And he got a word. I said, this is the way to go. You know, so those are patterns for us. You know, so we cannot live the way other people do and expect to get a different result. It's not going to happen. You know, so I call it a conference lifestyle. It's a conference lifestyle. That is, the things you do when you are seeking God, do it daily. Build your life around it. You know, of fellowship. You know. Being in the world, you know, walking it out, you know, and that's the whole idea of it. It takes a commitment. It's not something. In fact, that's the oil. That's buying the oil. You know, you have to go buy the oil. You have to go, and you know, the lamp. Of course, that's another way. It's like it's the soul. The oil is the life of Christ. And you buy it. As you're buying it, other people want you to. The devil is waiting for that oil. Yes. He needs the oil. You are the one to get it from him. He can't get it. He can't get the life from God. So he must get it from you. But in doing that, God has put a time. Because the day you wake up and say, no more, it's over for the devil. So he resists the devil and he will flee. So the day I'm strong to resist and overcome, that's the end of that spirit, that nature, or that habit. You understand? But as long as I'm servicing it, then it has dominion over me. But God knows that if I push, I should come to that place where, you know, that spirit no longer has dominion. See, sin shall no longer have dominion over me. You understand? So it's an encouragement for all of us to rise up, you know, to see the purpose of our calling, as it were, to rebuild the altar. You know, Elijah rebuilt the altar again, and he said, bring 4 measures of water, 4 barrels of water, and pour it. That speaks 1 barrel for each dimension of the soul. As I said, there are 4. You understand? And the water is the word, this is not, you pour it. He told them, fill the bucket, those pitcher with oil, you know, with water. You know, so there's more to speak about engaging in the word, being God's presence, and building up. He says, James says, building up your faith, you know, your most holy faith in the Holy Ghost, you know, renew ourselves, like a charging a battery, you know, we're building up, you know. So he says, don't forget the assembly. So the devil will fight you to make sure he cuts off the fellowship, to bring offense, bring misunderstanding, to bring this, bring that, you know, and all that is to keep us in the flesh. You understand? At home, between husband and wife, big time, it's all flesh matter, one thing or the other. But if you have the purpose, if you understand where you are going to, then you are above the devil. You know that you can't play any trick, because you know that either together in the fellowship or at the fellowship at home, it is that rubbing is what you need, you know, to make you look inward, and God works to bring a perfection. So there's nothing like a perfect marriage, perfect fellowship, perfect brother, perfect sister. All those things are in America.
And, Western terminology.
And there they don't have any marriage. Nothing like that. You know, so we have to be real in relating with one another, fellowship, because everybody has something. You know, I like the sharing, the formal relationship, because everybody has a testimony, has an experience to bring. You know, that will help us overcome. Praise God.
Amen. Just like what you said about this, you see, there was a woman who went for a seminar yesterday, Janice Olawoye. She was now telling us, talking about education. She now said that it is not everything that comes from the Western world that we need to have, no matter how good.
Yeah.
That even she was happy to train her children here, where she can beat them, unlike the US. So that most of the things that has brought defilement in the church these days